With me in studio now is Declan Burke for a look at some of the latest crime fiction releases. Declan, you're starting with the latest book from prime suspect writer Linda LaPlante, a new novel called Twisted. It's about the disappearance of a teenager. Who is the disappeared teenager?
The teenager is a girl called Amy, a teenager, as you say. She is the daughter of Lena and Marcus Fulford. And as the book opens, they're going through what it looks like is going to be a very, very messy divorce indeed. And both parents are distracted by their Monday morning meeting with their lawyers, etc. So neither happens to notice that their daughter hasn't been with the other parent, as it were, for the weekend. So she has been missing for 3 days by the time D.I. Reid of the Richmond Missing Persons Unit comes upon the scene. Now, it's a police procedural. That's how it opens up. That's the framework. But actually it develops into a much richer and much deeper kind of novel. This is one that is very much a character study that's rooted in the psychology of all the main protagonists. And what was particularly interesting for me on this is that Linda LaPlante, who has a reputation for writing very straightforward thrillers that are easily adaptable for TV, quite a lot of her effort is invested in Amy, who is the victim of the piece, essentially. And that's not always the case with crime novels. Often the victim is the hook, and then she, as often the case, is forgotten about. But by the end of the novel, so much time and effort has been invested by Linda LaPlante in Amy that she has become the most rounded character of the lot, which adds hugely to the poignancy of the
book. And I know Linda LaPlante spoke to us about this book, and she said Twisted is there to refer to the fact that the plot itself is so twisted. It does turn at every moment.
Expectations are raised and dashed, absolutely.
Does terrific. It work? It does work for you.
I thought it was wonderful.
You think this is among her best writing?
I haven't read all of her books. There's almost 30 novels published, but of the books I've read, which five or six, this is by far her most fullest and roundest piece, I think.
Twisted by Linda LaPlante, published by Simon and Schuster. The second book that you've been reading is The Final Silence. This is from Stuart Neville, and once again we're with Detective Jack Lennon of the PSNI. Was this the same Jack Lennon who started in the first book called?
The Twelve, also known as The Ghosts of Belfast. Yeah, he played a minor part in that book, but this is the third to kind of feature him as a central character, as the main detective protagonist. It actually opens with a character called Rhea Carlisle, who's an old flame of Jack Lennon, and she's gone through the house of her uncle Raymond, who has died, and they're getting rid of his stuff, they're cleaning out the house, and she discovers this horrific evidence of these terrible crimes that have been committed in the past. Now, Stuart Neville, his most recent book, Ratlines, that was a historical thriller set in the 1960s in Ireland. But generally, his novels are contemporary set, but have their roots in the Troubles, as you suggest, with The Twelve. And what's brilliant about this, I mean, it's deceptively well written in the sense that the style seems quite languid at times, but it's really taut, very tense. And the writing is kind of stretched across this story in which it's a series of murders that they don't necessarily fit with what we might consider the prevailing theory of post-peace process Northern Ireland. I don't want to give away too much about the plot, but let's just say that the motives for the murders that are uncovered, they're not what we might have expected from Northern Ireland.
By the way, Ratlines, the standalone novel that you mentioned, that's been developed for TV, isn't it?
Just received development funding from RTE, actually, so hopefully there's going to be, fingers crossed, a TV series coming very shortly from Stuart Neville.
From Ratlines, okay. Let us move on then to the next one you have for us. Give the full name of the book. By the way, we will put all of the titles up on our website, so don't worry if you miss out on them. Stuart Neville's The Final Silence was that second book we were talking about, and it's published by Harville Secker. Book number three, a spy thriller, a real life spy at the centre here. Who was Kim Philby? He seemingly has been, according to you, the subject of many books and stories previous to this, yeah?
Well, Kim Philby is kind of notorious for being one of the famous spies who defected, well, he eventually defected to the Soviet Union after he was uncovered in 1963. But he'd been at the heart of the British Secret Service for many years. And this is, I mean, his story has been kind of told and retold. But this is a rather unusual perspective that Robert Little takes, because it opens in 1933 with Philby's former Russian handler in London being interrogated in a Moscow cell. And then it kind of flips back, or that's in 1938, and then it goes back to 1933 and we meet Philby's first wife, Litzy, and she gives her interpretation of who Philby was. And then we meet Guy Burgess, we meet Theodore O'Malley.
And these characters, Litzy, Guy Burgess, Theodore O'Malley, these are real people.
These are
all
real historical figures, and Robert Little has reimagined, he has fictionalised their relationships with Philby, but each one gives a different kind of snapshot. So we're building up a mosaic as we go through. What was really fascinating for me is that there is a revolutionary kind of radical theory of what Kim Philby did and why he did it that was certainly radical to me. I haven't come across it. And there's a really interesting afterword by Robert Little explaining why he worked this into the fiction.
So is it a little bit, is it veering towards non-fiction at any point?
It's factional. Can we describe it like that? There is, I mean, the framework is all, it's all historical fact, follows Philby to the Spanish Civil War, where he worked as a journalist, employed by the Times, but he was there as a British spy. And as he gets turned by the Soviet Union. So the framework is historical fact, but the relationships, as imagined by Robert Little, are fictionalised. Right. So it's a fascinating thing. And as I say, anyone who's a fan of the spy novel, this radical exploration of his motives.
The theory that he comes up with, do you think that could be based in history, or is it purely fictional?
It's hard to say. I'm not well read enough on it, but just say it's a very, very juicy morsel. Let's put it that
okay,
way.
Let's. That's Robert Little, and Young Philby is the name of the book published by Duckworth Overlook. Paris is the setting for our next novel, which is Murder Below Montparnasse from Cara Black. This is the 13th book that Cara Black has written, featuring her investigator, Aimée Le Duc. Quite an elegant and sophisticated woman, Aimée. I presume she's Aimée.
Indeed. I mean, I learned so much about contemporary women's fashion from reading this novel alone. It's an education. Aimée, very, very chic, very elegant. But I mean, I'll tell you about the start of the novel. She is commissioned. She's a private investigator. She's commissioned by a stubborn old Cossack, quote unquote, Russian immigrant, to protect a long lost Magda Liani. But of course, this is. We know that something is going to go wrong, and she very quickly discovers the poor old Russian dead and apparently tortured to death. And we discover that the art world, in Paris at least, is a particularly lethal place to do business. Now, this all happens in the first four or five pages. This is a novel that fairly rattles along. And I kind of felt sorry for poor old Aimée, because she seemed like a bit of a pinball ricocheting around Paris as she flees various lethal killers and art dealers and whatnot. Having said that, now, it's very, very fast-paced. So people who are used to kind of more measured, more atmospheric kind of crime novels may find the pace a bit too much for
them. Is she papering over the cracks by moving at that pace?
It's hard to tell. There's so much happened. It's hard to tell what happened 5 pages ago. Really, this is a frenetic tale. But having said that, there are some beautiful passage of writing, particularly when she talks about Montparnasse and talks about its current kind of political intrigue the way it is now, and then compares that with the kind of more bohemian artistic milieu that surrounded it back
and
in
Lenin,
the 1920s.
Does Lenin make an appearance?
Vladimir Ilyich does make an appearance. He's bound up in the mystery of the missing painting, let me put it that way.
All right, that's Murder Below Montparnasse, published by Soho Crime and written by Cara Black. Wouldn't be a crime roundup if you didn't have something from Scandinavia. And in this case, it's the latest from Norwegian author Karen Fossum. I Can See in the Dark. This is a step away. She has a series. Who's the inspector?
Inspector Sager.
So we don't have Inspector Sager in this standalone, is it?
No, this is a standalone from Karen Fossum, which is highly unusual. You say 10 to date have been translated into English, and very good they are too. I've described her in the past as a Norwegian Patricia Highsmith, and Jo Nesbø is particularly fond of Karen Fossum. This is a story about, it's kind of a psychological thriller, slow pace, but a hospice orderly called Richter, who's a kind of an ingratiating person and very creepy. He's a loner, lives alone. And he kind of inflicts these low-level but pretty despicable crimes on his helpless and aged patients in the hospice.
Are we with him? Is he our narrator or our guide through the book?
We're very much in his head, and it's quite a grimy feel to this book. You may need to take a shower when you finish reading it. She really gets up close and intense in terms of his personality. But what gives us quite an interesting twist is that eventually Richter, who is a man of great self-control, eventually loses control and lashes out, and then finds himself being arrested by the police for a completely different crime, which totally outrages him because he reckons he's a super intelligence and he's having to deal with these puny mortals. Now, it's a very strange book because we know who the perpetrator of the crime is. We know that the police procedural, who and what it's going to achieve. But really the essence of it is that it gives us an insight into
that character's mind. Given that he is pure evil from what you've described and the things that he does are pretty despicable, do we find ourselves empathising with him in any way, or is he just an ogre?
I certainly didn't empathise in any way. I found him absolutely fascinating, but not in the way, I mean, the way you might find a dangerous animal fascinating when it's on the other side of the
fence. Not inviting him to dinner.
Indeed.
All right. That is I Can See in the Dark from Karen Fossum, published by Vintage. Your final choice for us then this evening, Declan, All Day and a Knight. This is from Alifair Burke, and this is another in a series. Ellie Hatcher from the NYPD is the woman at the heart of this particular book. She's on a fresh look team. What does a fresh look team do?
A fresh look team, it's basically an old case, and a new team has been seconded to have another look, to seek in the fresh eyes, find another couple of clues that's going to break a case. Because what has happened as the book opens is that a Brooklyn psychotherapist, Helen Brunswick, has been murdered, and in a very similar way to murders that took place two decades previously, for which a character called Anthony Morrow has been found guilty and sent to prison for life. Now, once the character of Helen Brunswick is found murdered in a similar fashion, and a letter arrives at the district attorney's office claiming that the wrong man was convicted for these crimes, Ellie and her partner J.J. Rogan are called in. Now, there are all sorts of political complications and legal complications. What really made this fascinating for me is that Alifair Burke, she's also a professor of law in New York, and she wears her learning very, very lightly. Yeah. So she introduces all these kind of legal and political conundrums that really advance the plot.
But
really,
even those legal intricacies aren't so confusing that you get lost.
Well, this is her skill, that she just brings them into the plot as right. part of the narrative, and it just makes it just a more fascinating story.
All right, that's All Day and a Night by Alifair Burke, and it's published by Faber. As I said, all six of Declan's choices, if you're looking for some crime reading over the coming months. We'll put them up on our website. That's rte.ie/radio1/arena, and therein will be all six books, their authors and their publishers.